Welcome back. Well, Eskom has briefed Parliament on its annual report, and while the absence of load shedding is an indication of the utility's nine-point recovery program bearing some fruit, it's come to light that the entity's poor financial standing is impacting on efforts to turn the ailing state-owned entity around. In the meantime, Treasury has set stringent conditions for an Eskom bailout, and Natasha Mazzoni, DA Shadow Minister of Public Enterprises, who sits on Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises, joins us on the line with her take on where Eskom is at. Thanks so much, Natasha, for joining us on the line this evening. I want to start off with Treasury's ultimatum. It's issued a list of 28 conditions that must be met for Eskom to get its 23 billion rand bailout. But at the same time, we know that this is an organization that's simply too big to fail. So is the state really in a position to enforce such conditionality, or very much in a catch-22 here?
Look, I don't want to always be the bearer of bad news, and I certainly think that Treasury putting it down an ultimatum is a step in the right direction. But here's the question I think we all need to be asking ourselves, is what happens if Eskom doesn't adhere to the 29 steps as set out by Treasury? Will Treasury simply withdraw their bailout? What will happen if Treasury withdraws their bailout? And I think that's why South Africans, we are terribly concerned, and certainly as members of Parliament, we're terribly concerned as to the kind of power that Eskom wields at the moment, given the fact that it is by far the monopoly supply of electricity in our country. As we know, it is too big to fail. And at this stage of the game, the government is doing everything it possibly can to keep the lights on. So I have... Unfortunately, I've seen this movie one too many times. I have seen bailout after bailout. This is not the first time that the entity has been bailed out. So what I'm hoping to see is a massive commitment by Treasury and by the Eskom board to show us that they are serious about turning this entity around, certainly by giving opportunity for other ideas to come into play, for other ideas to be put on the table, and certainly for ideology to not block pragmatism, which is required in steering a ship that's going through very rough waters.
And hopefully what the conditions set does do, Natasha, is, allow for some form of pragmatism to take hold here. I want to start off with some of the basics that have been outlined here. Daily updates on Eskom's cash position. Realistically speaking, though, how viable is something like that, you know, for submissions like this to be made on a daily basis?
Well, I think given the fact that Eskom does pose single largest economic risk to our country at the moment, it is essential that we are having daily updates from Eskom. And if that means an entire department has to be zoned to report back to Treasury, I think that's the kind of oversight that needs to be done at the entity now. It's literally that kind of stringent checking and double-checking mechanism that needs to be put in place. Now, one of the reasons the entity was allowed to fall to state capture was because the KPIs and the requirements and the contracts that were entered into with board members and managers were never made public. At least with this particular 29-point plan that has been given, the 29-step program given by Treasury, we now have actual KPIs that you and I and the South African public now know need to be adhered to daily. And should people not adhere to them, certainly the Treasury as well as government as a whole will then be able to step in and say, look, you're already going in the wrong direction. We need to fix this and we need to see those daily updates.
So are there smaller consequences, beyond just that not getting the 23 billion rand bailout that could come into play along the route if those targets aren't met?
Well, this is what we need to find out, and this is what we need to delve in deeper. And the committee has been told that President Ramaphosa will come and he'll brief the country in general about what exactly the plans are for Eskom going forward. And so there's many things that are still being sidestepped, and I have a feeling that they're being sidestepped because no one wants to officially put the complete stamp and seal on what will happen with Eskom yet, because people are still discussing the issue. But what my biggest concern is, what exactly are the implications for Eskom should they not adhere to these to these particular plans? What is going to be the fallback position? Who will be held completely accountable? Because the Department of Public Enterprises and the Eskom board have often been at loggerheads with each other as to who controls certain issues around Eskom. And we know that the board has often left the Department of Public Enterprises out of certain very serious decision-making processes. And, of course, because of the nature of the company that is Eskom, the Department of Public Enterprises only had limited access to certain documentation and certain KPIs that Eskom was enforcing on themselves. But given the fact that there is a magnitude of this loan being given, I think Treasury now has the opportunity to step in and say, look, we are actually coming in as part custodian of the money and your usage of money. And I certainly feel a lot better knowing that there is a double-check system going forward with Eskom at the moment.
Is it system enough, Natasha, to mitigate against the risk that this potentially does become just a tick box exercise and detail and accuracy could be compromised?
I'm literally at the point where I don't think that we can ever sit back and say enough has been done. I will always be on high alert. I know my colleagues are on high alert. My colleagues that work in the finance department, appropriations department, myself at energy, we are all on high alert. We are keeping a very, very close watch on this. Eskom, as I said, it's frightening when one actually thinks of the capability that this particular institution has to destroy the South African economy. So no, I don't think that this is enough. I don't think it will ever be enough. I think we are constantly going to be double-checking, looking over our shoulders, and it simply is because of the state that Eskom is in, because of the monopoly that Eskom holds.
Absolutely.
We are always going to be held.
Of course, Natasha, we're looking at a strengthening of a board that needs to happen in tandem. We're looking at detailed cost timing and benefit plans for the completion of both Medupi and Kusile to come to the fore. I want to ask you a very quick question before I let you go. What would be a tougher feat, I would think, and certainly a socio-political hot potato, is recovering outstanding money for electricity sales from all debtors. What are some of the recommendations for Eskom to get a handle on that situation?
Well, given the fact that we've now learned that 20 billion rand of Eskom's debt comes from municipalities, we need to get a hold on the municipal debt as quickly as possible. And that means holding municipal managers, who are actually the finance officers of municipalities, accountable for monies that have been paid in good faith for electricity accounts that aren't paid over to Eskom. So I think that once we understand the nature of some of the debt and the nature of how we collect that debt, it will go a long way in alleviating portions of Eskom's debt.
Well, Natasha, I guess we'll be catching up with you as things unfold and develop. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Natasha Mazzoni is DA Shadow Minister of Public Enterprises, who sits on Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises.